CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. AUKUS, Australia, United Kingdom, and the United States. An alliance worried, fretting, threatened by the People's Republic of China's building a very large navy and making aggressive remarks about Taiwan and other allies of the United States repeatedly. AUKUS, meant to be an answer. However, we have headlines now that are contradictory. For example, Australia to invest billions for AUKUS nuclear submarine program, or AUKUS submarine base protests in Australia highlight challenges for security pact, or BAE to build nuclear-powered AUKUS submarines and boost for British industry, or BAE systems selected to build AUKUS nuclear submarines unclear. I will stop here because all of this is dancing around a topic that Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, identifies with a tweet. I quote, U.S. Navy to delay deployment of its modern attack submarine by nearly a decade. Implications for AUKUS submarine program unclear. Henry, a very good evening to you. Unclear how? Is AUKUS yesterday's idea? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Again, it's always great to talk to you about things that peer into the future. And boy, the AUKUS submarine proposal is getting pushed off further and further into the future. And some people who are pretty smart, both in Australia and the United States, are wondering if it has a future. And the reason is, as you read that article, is that our own program, which is supposed to help build a nuclear submarine fleet for the Australians and the British nuclear submarine effort, are floundering. They are not on schedule. They're not on budget, but just the opposite. And both the British and the American fleets come first. They're not going to build stuff for Australia before they build stuff for their own navies. People in Australia are noticing this at very senior levels, is my impression. And there are at least three pillars, they call them, of this AUKUS proposal for defense high-tech cooperation. The show horse is, of course, the nuclear submarine fleet. But there is something called Pillar 2. And I think increasingly Pillar 2 is starting to look like the future of AUKUS more than Pillar 1.
The understanding, my memory, is that the U.S. has attack submarines until and if Australia can build its own version, because the seas in the Southeast Asia are not as deep as the sea in Atlantic and Pacific, where our submarines operate routinely. Until the Australian Defense Industrial Base can build one of its own, and or the British Industrial Base can build one of its own, we're lending or passing over or transferring Virginia-class attack boat. Is that now in question, Henry?
Well, it might be. I mean, at a minimum, what we're doing is visiting with our submarines. There's some discussion of joint crewing. The next step will be selling them a Virginia-class sub, but you can't sell what you don't have, you know, or you can't spare. And I think the bloom is off the rose of this proposal. It's looking like it's going to be pretty expensive. And the Australians are being asked to fork over billions of dollars. They're looking at the sales price or the sticker price on this fleet, and it's just an enormous sum of money.
What about the British? What about the British? Do they have the money for this?
Well, their program is floundering and going up above budget and beyond their initial schedule as well, and so it's not looking great in the short and midterm for staying on schedule for this. And if you wait long enough, people are asking in Australia, what the heck good is this going to do if there's a crisis with China well before these things even, you know, begin to leave port?
We come then to pillar two. My understanding for some time, and it's been a while since I've updated this, is that pillar two is what everybody desires. Pillar one is the one that's controversial. What is pillar two, Henry?
It's a lot of different things, but mostly it's what they, now the favorite term of art is uncrewed, well, unmanned, autonomous, underwater submersibles that, you know, go around looking for submarines and can fire missiles or lay mines stealth in a stealthy fashion, which would be ideal to prevent, let's say, an amphibious surface fleet from mainland China transiting the strait to go to Taiwan, for example. It's also autonomous drones that fly with a manned airplane to protect it and to project much more distant offensive activity and surveillance that's unmanned, and so you can afford to lose them. It's things like that, which the Australians actually have a certain alacrity and skill in devising. We've begun to do something that was unprecedented, and that is relax our trade regulations to allow them to get technology from the United States and to fashion it into new systems themselves. So that's where the excitement or sizzle in the near-term stake is right now.
The U.S. Navy is working on robot ships, robot submersibles, robot surface ships. Is that what it's going to look like, a fleet of robots?
Well, I think everything is trending towards the application of artificial intelligence and unmanned systems, not just militarily, but if you've recently seen how we lay down pesticide or do surveillance, it's with an unmanned drone that you buy commercially. I think the world's moving in this direction for a variety of compelling reasons. And so, yeah, I think anyone who's talking about future warfare, and we had a brigadier from the Australian military retired who was in charge of the futures section of their military, say exactly what you just said.
And the People's Liberation Army Navy, are they also building a robot fleet, our adversary?
Yes, they are. And I think this raises the question of how does the story end? Who gets the advantage? I think the way it may work, if you're really lucky, is we may spook each other into not doing any offensive action against one another. Because if you're big and you can be seen, you can be hit.
Henry Sokolsky is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, updating us on something Philip K. Dick wrote about 60 years ago. Androids do dream of electric sheep, and robots are going to see. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.